Hello and welcome to Pinken.com, Norwich City Podcast number 343, Brief Encounters of the Third Round Kind. On our way, unbridled Portsmouth praise, January write-offs, and preparing to go boing boing. My name is Michael Bailey. Good day to you. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year. Has been a while since we've done one of these. Joining us here on this Monday afternoon at Archant Towers in 2019, we have Group Football Editor and, of course, Chief Norwich City Correspondent Paddy Davitt. Hello there, Pads.
Michael, how are you, my man?
I'm not so bad. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. We have fellow Norwich City colleague, correspondent David Freezer, the metrosexual Alan Partridge.
That one's sticking, isn't it? Happy New Year, all.
No, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. And our new man, our new sports visual specialist, I better get it right, hadn't I? Tony Thrussell. Tony, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is really. Tony's going to be here documenting our progress over the next half an hour in pictorial form. So you can take all that in at pinken.com. And you didn't even get to see the goal, did you, on Saturday?
No, I didn't see the red card either. I nipped to the toilet and came back in, and everyone's arms are in the air. So
yeah, that was just us in the press box. Brilliant stuff. Great to have Tony on board. And you'll see his work, probably more than him, over the coming however long he manages to cope with us all. So how are we all, gents? Proper introductions. Pad, well, happy Christmas, happy New Year, all good?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good. I was saying to somebody yesterday, though, people telling me we stopped work on Christmas Eve, we came back on the 2nd. Doesn't happen in our line of work. Contrary to popular misconception that all we do is get paid to watch football, it's far more involved than that. So in terms of it just feels like a normal period for me, I've got to be brutally honest. Maybe the odd day here and there, a bit more turkey than other parts of the year.
But you did get some presents, didn't you, as well? Did you?
Might have got one or two, yeah. No, actually told my wife to take one back, so that's put me in the good books. A gilet.
Brave.
Is it a gilet? What do you call them things?
Yeah, gilet.
Body warmers. Well, funnily enough, Kenny Jacket, as I told her, was wearing one of those. So I thought maybe I was a bit too hasty, but no, it's not really me. I'm not a gilet wearer, so.
Kenny Jacket was wearing a gilet. Ridiculous.
A blue one.
What a contradiction in terms. Dave, are you well?
Yeah, not bad. All's fairly well. Hoping to exchange on my first mortgage in the next few days, so that's a nice big thing on the personal front. But yeah, football does have a way of snapping you back into reality very quickly after football, you know, 26th, 29th, New Year's Day. But you know, we're all lucky we get to do a job we enjoy, so I'm not complaining. It just means your sort of festive period is shaped quite differently to a lot of people.
It does indeed. So yeah, I mean, you're just buying your house, Pad. You've just moved in. For those on the app taking in Paddy's Sunday brunch, yeah, getting slightly different views of the house each week,
there'll be no more new views. Every view you've seen so far, that's all you're going to be getting now. There are privacy laws in this. Yeah, I've only got a kitchen. Yeah, that's basically not too far off. Got the painter coming tomorrow. You don't need to hear about that. What's going on here?
Well, maybe we can get one more from the pink dining room in a couple of weeks. That would be good. Tony, you're moved all the way from Swansea, so that's a fair old trek.
Yeah, it saves me a long journey once a month to come back and visit. So now I've just got the 6-hour journey into the city from the countryside every morning, which is just as bad.
Beautiful.
But you said you missed the goal.
Yeah.
That's not as bad as the Newport chairman on the BBC game yesterday. He missed their first goal against Leicester. I know they scored a second to win it, but he missed their first goal because he went to the toilet. What chairman goes to the toilet mid-game?
Hey, it's those weak bladders, that's what I was
saying. I'm glad you said that. Brilliant. Okay, well, just before we get stuck into some actual proper stuff, remember you can get in touch with us all here to share your thoughts and set our agenda. Just send an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk or get in touch via all the possible social media channels you can imagine, be it The Pinken or, of course, our personal profiles. And make sure you don't miss a single podcast throughout this season by subscribing, and there will be every week from here on in, won't they, Dave?
Fingers crossed.
We have plans.
We have plans in place. You can find all those details at pinken.com/podcast. So that was the week that was just gone. We'll try and keep it just to the last week, but predominantly, of course, that was Norwich City's FA Cup run, Pad, which involved 90 minutes or 95 minutes, one sending off and one defeat to the League One leaders in Portsmouth. How would you like to assess this game? Should we big up how well Portsmouth did? Were we happy with what Norwich did? And what impact did that sending off have as well?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, final analysis, I don't think Norwich should have been chasing a game with 10 v 11. They were, I thought, the better side by far. So, yeah, had a massive impact, the Grant Hanley dismissal after 15 minutes. But in the bigger picture, Farker, he made 8 changes, so that's told you what he felt about the competition vis-a-vis the Championship promotion push. And in that context, I think there was more positives than negatives, setting aside Hanley. I thought Kenny McLean really showed, given the length of time he's been out, that he might be able to add something. I'm not saying he's suddenly going to start dislodging Rancic, Leitner when he's fit, Tete, but certainly there was something to his game I quite liked, you know, his willingness to inject a bit of a forward thrust from central areas. So I thought past that grew into it as well, but you'd still have concerns in terms of the physicality just because of his diminutive stature. Can't do a lot about that, but I thought he stuck to his task. So all in all, another good game for Godfrey, another good game for Cantwell. Yeah, I think for what we're trying to get out of this season, or what Norwich are trying to get out of this season, I don't think it was a complete write-off, albeit, yeah, in terms of the FA Cup, there endeth the lesson for another year.
Yeah, well, I mean, Grant Hanley was very pumped up for the game. It was quite obvious when they came out and shook hands. Hanley, of course, is the first one to finish shaking hands with the opposition, and then he charged towards the Barkley in a very purposeful manner. And there was a couple of moments before he was sent off where he was, you know, flexing his muscles a bit, wasn't he? So he clearly wanted to make an impact. But the red card, A, Zimmerman, why has he gone out wide? Why has he followed Pittman out to a position where there's no danger? That then leaves Hanley having to charge into that big empty space between the ball and Michael McGovern. And from there, Hanley just gets it all wrong. I think he's actually fortunate that he didn't clean the guy out with his leading foot, because if he had caught his shin, it could have been a leg breaker. But as it was, the guy runs behind him and goes over his legs. Hanley got it completely wrong, powered into it, and I thought it was quite a bad challenge in the end. So I didn't really see much debate over the red card. And from there, yeah, Norwich in general were the better team, but it meant that Jordan Rhodes was pretty isolated, wasn't it? Because you've got Srebeni behind him, he obviously isn't a proper number 10, and you know, he's a bit rusty, understandably, because he's not been playing. It meant Marshall had to drop into left back, so he must have been pretty knocked off, because it was a big opportunity for him, wasn't it? And it, again, we saw him once he was at fullback, he just doesn't judge balls in the air, does he? Which is was one of the big problems early in the season. So that was a shame for him. But yeah, liked the look of McLean. He's tidy on the ball, isn't he? And hopefully the problem now is going to be getting him minutes, isn't it? How are you going to get him minutes in this run of games? So there were positives to it. But in the end, to concede a 95th minute goal to avoid a replay, I can't say I wasn't. I can't say I was devastated.
No, I think I went, go on, Andre, as he was going through. And you know, we don't want to go to Portsmouth in midweek, do we, Pab? Bigger fish to fry, which has been said.
Don't go to Portsmouth at any point, never mind.
Okay. Well, you can say that. I probably can't. Just on Quanah Hanley's sending off, it's definitely a one-game ban, isn't it? Which is what you get for a denial of a obvious goal-scoring opportunity, whereas it's generally 3 games for violent conduct. It was a long way out. He was the last man, but in terms of the actual rule, it is denying a clear, an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, which is in effect exactly what he did.
Which he did, which I think a lot of people have been talking about the distance between player, ball and McGovern, but what a lot of people don't seem to be accounting for is the fact that Grant Hanley has put a rather large object between player and ball. I think that if Hanley hadn't have done what he did, then he would have got the ball ahead of McGovern. It's easy in hindsight, obviously. Grant can tell you that now, but he should have just held him up, shouldn't he? You just shepherd him, push him wide, try and sort of neutralise the danger.
He did it right in front of us, didn't he, Paddy? You could tell he was coming across to clear the ball and just got there after the ball had gone and the player was in the way instead.
Yeah, and about a minute or two before, he'd been penalised for a shoulder barge, whether rightly or wrongly. So in terms of playing the referee, they talk about playing the opponent, but you've got to play the referee, and wasn't very clever. But as Dave says, he was probably a little bit overly pumped to make a good impression.
and the referee to get his card out. It was quick, wasn't it? But, you know, it was right.
I think Daniel had a point there. How quickly... why is there a need for a referee to whip a card out that quickly? You should, if anything, be counting to five, think, clear in your head, think, have I got this right? Then do it. There is no need to get a red card out in 2 seconds.
I love it. I do love that. That is a good debate. Okay, so any other winners or losers from that? Paddy, you did a pretty good summing up job. Anyone else out of winners and losers out of Norwich's sole FA Cup outing?
Well, I mean, Marshall, yeah, probably not only down to him, but he looked well off it. I thought even when prior to, albeit that was only a 15-minute sample, but he just increasingly, I see that guy and I see Marley Watkins. I see a guy who came with a lot of potential, but he doesn't seem to grasp the Farker philosophy. And I don't think it's solely because he was made to play left back or right back at the start of the season. We're now in the madness that is the January window. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he departs on loan. He's been linked to Birmingham. I could see that all day long, because I don't think, talking about opportunities with McLean, I think there's very little chance of Marshall forcing his way in now this long into the season. You know, we're not in August now. You know, we're on the turn for home, and he's clearly not impressing Farker enough day to day, week to week. So, yeah, you know, as funny enough, we just had the Q&A there a bit earlier on Monday lunchtime, and, you know, you have to say Norwich are no different to any other club. They're getting a lot of praise about their recruitment policy, and you look at the likes of Buendia and Pukki, but you're always going to put one or two duff ones in amongst it. That's just the sifting for gold element. And he's a good player, clearly, because, you know, you talk to Millwall fans, they'd love him there, and, you know, there'll be clubs who are interested. But just right here, right now, him and Norwich don't fit. And probably as a result, we won't be seeing him figure too heavily, if at all, in Norwich's first 11 between now and May.
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, I've always liked Ben Marshall as a player, but... You know, he's such a crossing machine, which was pretty his first instinct almost all the time on Saturday too. And I think you picked it out, Dave. There's one point in the first half where he was basically, Norwich had the play down the right, he was on the left, on the touchline, about 50 yards away from anyone else, which, you know, playing a 4-4-2 for Kenny Jackett's side is probably exactly where you'd want him. But it just felt, well, I've never seen, certainly this year, any of Norwich's players that far away from the ball, because, you know, realistically, it's not going to get there. That's just how it's felt to me. But
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that almost feels like he's just not in the loop properly, doesn't it? Well, there were a few moments early doors where you saw him and Cantwell almost mixing it about a little bit. You know, if the guy got a run of games as a winger now, then we may well see him start to fit in. But, you know, is that going to happen? That ship may well have sailed, unfortunately. I mean, in terms of positives, Cantwell was good. I still think there's more to come from him. I still think he can maybe puff his chest out a bit more, maybe take a few more Wes Houlihan type risks. At times, maybe takes the slightly soft option, easy option. But he's got the vision, hasn't he? I mean, the pass for Srebeni, you know, Pukki would have scored that, no doubt about it. Srebeni tried to take one too many touches, and Todd was unlucky with the header as well, because he did quite well with the chance. It was a decent save. Srebeni, yeah, it's a bit of an opportunity miss for him, just that one big opportunity. But, you know, he's not a number 10, is he? He's not an attacking midfielder. He wants to be a striker. And, you know, Ben Godfrey, again, game by game, he's just getting more confident, more feels like he deserves to be in the 11 somewhere just because of his attitude. He feels like a winner to me. He feels like he's really determined. I like the way he plays the game, and could maybe even be a bit of a leader there that's starting to emerge.
You mentioned Todd, of course. Should we mention his hair? Anyone want to mention Todd Cantwell's hair? Go on, Paddy, do you want to mention Todd Cantwell? I thought that was the look you just gave me.
Move on.
It's short, it's brown, it's new.
It definitely makes him look like 11 from the first series of Stranger Things. I'm just putting that out there to see if anyone actually agrees. Tony's just sort of scoffed.
Whatever the reason, you know, that there are people who probably think it's a bit of a fancy down haircut for a player emerging. If he wants that haircut, do the business on the pitch first, grow it back in a couple of years, and then tell everyone to shut up.
there is a differing theories on how it's come about, aren't there? Whether it was a malfunction with his existing locks, but I already feel like we've spoken about it too much. What also happened this week was on New Year's Day, which was at Brentford, where Norwich drew 1-1. But I feel like the game doesn't really deserve much of our comment, does it, really, Pat?
Horrendous place. That's all I'm going to say.
It's nice that it's got four pubs on the corners. That's quite a bit of character. Not that we can go in. But it's the worst press box in the division because it's stupidly designed. Because one person wants to get out, you all have to get out. And we were disappointed to find out after the game that it's not until 2020 that they're moving to their new stadium. So unless Norwich and Brentford are in different divisions next year, we're going to have to do it all again.
Will the new ground have four pubs on each, a pub on each corner as well? That's the question.
I guess they'll probably put like a ceremonial bar in the corner of each, won't they? And it's also going to be the stadium for London Irish Rugby Club, so they will need some alcohol.
Okay, gongs of the week. I know this, when people say, oh, we missed the podcast, I know this is the bit everyone misses because it's literally...
This is like the Tampa Time Half-Time Challenge, isn't it?
The blue disc on the table.
I like when the guys on the microphones try to get people interested in it.
Thanks, gents. Yeah, nice one. Cheers. All right, well, continuing the theme. Our big Duncan Forbes hero of the week. Who have you got?
I'm going to broaden it a touch and throw in Angus Gunn, just because, you know, basically for anybody who isn't aware, he has had to bide his time at Southampton, got his big money move off the back of what he did at Carr Road. Excellent season, truly excellent, really, for a young man making his way. But he's had to be patient, got his chance. Chelsea last week, midweek, 0-0, Stamford Bridge, no mean feat for your Premier League debut. A lot of plaudits, and I just checked, I did see he retained his place for the FA Cup. They were 2-0 up early on at Derby. Nathan Redmond brace. I mean, they conceded two. I haven't seen the goal, so I don't know if he could be culpable, but it just feels like maybe, hopefully, the penny's dropped with the people. I know Southampton have had a managerial change, haven't they? So, post Hughes, it'd be nice to see him get a run because... there's a young man who could go very far.
Yeah, too true. I can't remember the first Derby goal. The second one was an absolute corker from Tom Lawrence. Jack Marriott smashed the ball over for about 5 yards in the final minutes. A shame he didn't do that against Norwich on whenever it was, Christmas Saturday. Dave?
It's got to be Andre Green, really, isn't it? Just from saving everyone. No, I don't mean this from our point of view. I mean, we get paid to go and watch football matches, so we're not going to moan about a four-hour drive, because basically everywhere's a four-hour drive from Norwich. But it's Norwich didn't want the replay. Pompey didn't want the replay. They've both got promotion challenges on their hand. A 0-0 in a replay was the worst possible outcome for everybody in that stadium. And he spared us, so fair play.
You say that. I mean, Portsmouth, they have a really small budget, that I've learned over the weekend, so they might have needed the money from the extra game. Who knows? All right, well, moving on. Kevin Muscat, villain of the week. So go on then, Dave.
Yeah, I see you've noted it down. It's the one that I was thinking of as well. Shaquille Colthurst of Barnet. He has prevented Norwich from having a weekend of rest on the 26th of January, which is what we were all talking about at the final whistle on Saturday, wasn't it? Well, you know, Sheffield United go and win, then they would have had an FA Cup fourth round game to play, but they have decided they want to play Norwich in that game. So that tees up now a very intense, 5-6 weeks of games for Norwich. Where is that? One weekend as a breather would have been just ideal, really.
Apparently Chris Wilder said the fans should have booed more when Sheffield United went off the pitch the other day.
I just saw his match of the day. Yeah, he wasn't at all pleased. So, yeah.
Can you imagine that? Chris Wilder not being at all pleased?
It's a hard one to think. He would be angry at something or somebody, but yeah, he wasn't happy with those players.
I'm a bit annoyed because, and this is for purely personal reasons, it's my little boy's birthday on the final weekend of January, so I'm off, which means I was quite hoping that might tie in with a free weekend for Norwich. As it happens, we're going to miss the Sheffield United game, which will probably save me a lot of angst on Twitter, judging by the last time Norwich played them.
I see our former colleague Steve Gedge made a good point about Sheffield United, that in that was a very different result to Norwich losing to Portsmouth, yeah. Wasn't it? In that, as we all know from when Norwich lost to Luton, losing to a non-league team at home in front of a small crowd can be quite damaging, can't it? Because then he's put a second string out who've been embarrassed. Norwich weren't embarrassed by Portsmouth. They were down to 10 men and still dominated the game, and in the end weren't bothered to concede a defeat. No one's going to head to West Brom on Saturday being like, oh, I'm a bit nervous now because they lost to Portsmouth. That's just not going to enter anyone's head, I don't think. Losing to Barnet, who are now in the National League, that's a big low for them.
Any more nominations, Pat, for villain?
Villain, yeah, I'm going to put myself in.
Oh, wow. I love how you're dealing with these awards.
I've thought about this, Michael. You know, I don't just rock up here and say the first thing. It might sound like I say the first thing that comes into my head, but...
I'm trying to think where you're going with this.
What have you done?
I'll explain. I think me and you might have something in amongst many things we have in common, but I think we both offended Portsmouth fans, probably you more than me, by judging by your...
Are you actually putting me in here?
So you should be in with me as well. But for me, basically, I tweeted when they scored that they... something along the lines of they celebrate like they'd won the World Cup. Now, at the time, I was referring to the guy sat direct to my right in the Portsmouth media team who basically was celebrating like a fan in terms of jumping up, punching the air. So I was quite annoyed, obviously. Not that I wanted to go to Portsmouth for a replay, but just the fact that I had to listen to that. And as you can imagine, since about Saturday... what time was it? It got 7 o'clock onwards. I've been called all sorts on my Twitter timeline, which, on reflection, wasn't a very good choice of phrase. And I probably was, because as anybody who does know, I do support Coventry and they are not doing as well as Portsmouth in League One. So anybody who's accusing me of delusions of grandeur or football snobbery are wide at a mark. It was more I was just annoyed by the actions of one individual. And then the cap on it was it came to me later in the evening that when Arnell scored about 98 minutes in against Forest on Boxing Day, I might have been celebrating in the press box. So I was also quite a hypocrite as well, I thought. So not only was it an ill-advised tweet, I was also quite a hypocrite. So I'll take my medicine. It won't happen again.
I mean, in fairness, you were sat right next to the they were the seats next to you.
He was directly to my right, yeah, which, you know, fair enough. As I say, when I reflected on it, it wasn't anything probably different to what I think you boys could be included. We were all fairly excitable when Arnell scored, and in that context, fair enough, I'll allow it.
Talking of that moment, Tony, you met some Portsmouth fans who travelled all the way to Norwich and missed the moment, didn't they?
Yeah, and we got two on camera, but I saw many more that had left probably within 5 minutes of the end. And they would have been walking to the train station, hearing their fans cheering. And you have to wonder, you've come all that way.
Yeah, as an away fan, to leave early seems bonkers.
And to see their reaction when they did score, it obviously meant the world to them game.
Yeah. No, it didn't. No, it was just a good win, just like they've had against lots of other clubs. All the time.
See, I'm jumping into your hole now, aren't I?
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's a great hole. I'm really happy in my hole. I'm not quite as magnanimous a man as Pad, I think, sometimes. But
no, as you touched on earlier, you have a penchant for offending opposition fans with Sheffield United. So Bournemouth, I recall, they've took against you in years gone by. Yeah. So, you know, you taking your stride. I get a little bit scared when I get angry people on Twitter having a pop at me.
I'm probably naive, that's why, but I do carry a little book of all the things.
That's probably what it is.
Don't know about that either, but there we go. I did just want to nominate Gavin Ward, who was the referee against Brentford, mainly for A, not giving a penalty, which, you know, seems on reflection most definitely a penalty, and B, seeming to be the only referee I've ever seen who's unable to know where to stand positionally on a football pitch. I mean, that's literally basic A training, and without wishing to enhance my reputation for not really getting on with referees who presumably are offended as well but just aren't allowed it on Twitter, there we go, here was my nomination. Anyway, Simeon Jackson, moment of the week.
Good or bad, it's the moment of the week is the Hanley episode, which we've dissected in detail, which completely ultimately changed the course of what I think would have been a fairly comfortable passage for Norwich.
Well, let's give it Tim Close at Brentford then. That was the positive of the week, I suppose. It wasn't the cleanest of headers, was it? It went in with the help of at least one Brentford defender and the goalkeeper, but it was an important goal. Norwich deserved to get a point in the end after a pretty dreadful first half, and showed a lot of character to get that. But, I mean, since we've last done the pod, of course, we've had that Onel Hernandez 4-4 moment against Forest. 3-3 Forest. So, 3-3 moment against Forest, which was pretty special, wasn't it? Against Derby, if it wasn't for a Scott Carson wonder save in injury time, we would have had a Todd Cantwell one. And if Dennis Shabeni could hit the target, there would have been one at Brentford as well. So for all the maybe little bits of negativity here and there in amongst this festive period, it wasn't far away from being a heck of a lot better.
It's very true indeed. The one thing I did want to mention could be a moment of the week because it was quite close. Daniel Farker talking about Jordan Rhodes not going anywhere in terms of any Sheffield Wednesday recalls. I think that seems to be quite an important thing given the makeup of the squad. But we will come on to January in a tickle. Okay, so mailbag time. Thank you for your tweets and emails and all that sort of stuff. We've got a few tweets to go through. All you need to do to get involved is email us, thepinken@archon.co.uk. Get in touch with us on Twitter, Facebook, what have you. Let us know what you want to discuss, what you want to ask the boys and girls. I hope, you know, we need to open this up, don't we, to more guests. So it's always good to hear from you all. Let's just rattle through them. Or Dave, do you want to ask them if I flag them up?
Right, first one is from Eddie, or Eddie on his handle.
Eddie!
Despite a few goals and assists, it seems NCFC are not getting the best out of Hernandez yet. To me, he's been a bit too static and not making enough runs into spaces. Your thoughts?
It's interesting because he came on, didn't he, on Saturday, but I didn't really remember seeing him, and not that it was for very long.
No, I would actually reference the Brentford game where he is too frustrating because he gets in good positions and his pace gets him in those positions and he squares up fullbacks, but his final decision too often is the wrong one. And that's been very harsh because you could probably, people could piece together over the course of the season where he has been pivotal. Sheffield Wednesday away immediately springs to mind. There's been one or two others. Yes. But I think in the round, I think if you could add that final decision making capacity, then you're talking about a player who could potentially go and play a step higher, but there's probably a reason why, you know, Norwich picked him up from Braunschweig or wherever it was in Germany. So what was the original question again? About his end product.
Yeah, just your thoughts on him. Yeah, too static, not making enough run into space.
Well, no, I'd contend that. I think it's when he gets into those positions, I think then I'd question, you know, what he is adding, and you have to be honest and say, look at the recent selections. You know, when Buendia was fit, it was Buendia. When Cantwell was kind of breaking through, it was Cantwell. So Farker must see that as well, and he isn't probably quite the full package in those areas of the pitch.
He has been disrupted by injury as well, hasn't he? He's had hamstring problems, and I think when he's got into full flow, he's looked really good. And I haven't got his stats to hand, but I think he's got 6 or 7 assists so far this season, and what, 3 or 4 goals. So he's done okay for the amount of game time he's had. I think the big thing with him is just keeping him playing, getting him in his rhythm. We have seen him sort of switch between right and left with Cantwell as well recently, haven't we? And I still can't work out which side is his best as well. So it might be interesting at some point, whether it'll happen or I don't know, to have Marshall on the left and Hernandez on the right, two proper out-and-out wingers. But then when Stiepermann's in the team, he drops wide, doesn't he? And that attacking midfield three, they rotate so much, don't they? So Daniel's wide men aren't really wingers, are they? Where that's why Onel kind of stands out when he's playing well. But I can see Eddie's point, but as long as he can hit a good run of fitness and form, I think we'll soon be seeing the best of him.
More of the Forest game, that was the one I liked.
This is Keith53. Keith spelled K-E-E-F. Your view on the potential signing of yet another central defender. I can't understand why we need one. I think you can clear this one up, can't you, Mr. Devitt?
If we're referring to Mr. Remy of Legia Warsaw, that won't be happening. So, not quite sure. Probably an agent, or an agent in between the agents, as is the world now. It's agents acting for clubs, agents acting for their representatives, whatever. But the ultimate end game there is not him pitching up on a 3.5-year deal, as was reported in various outlets. Don't believe those. Stick to pinken.com. You'll get the inside track from there.
Bang on. And indeed, I mean, reference to centre-backs, I would say it's probably as strong as anywhere in terms of Norwich's squad. And I know people, when you say that, look at the defensive record and, well, look at all the corners, look at this. But I don't think that's, personally, I don't think that's down to a lack of quality at centre-back. Although, what do you reckon, Pat?
Yeah, no. I mean, well, obviously the set pieces are, how long have we got if we want to get into zonal debates and what have you. And, I mean, you know, those two goals against Derby, you could you can look more at what Pukki and Stiepermann didn't do rather than your actual centre-backs. I think in general play, those centre-backs and the onus that Farker places on your centre-back to step in like closer mainly, but he's now got them all doing it. Godfrey, Zimmerman, Hanley, we haven't really seen, but he wants the centre-backs to step in and basically you look conversely Raggett where he is at the minute. And we're talking a bit earlier about maybe Marshall doesn't fit the template. I don't think Raggett does necessarily. So in that context, I don't think that's an area I'd agree that they'll be looking to do anything in Jan.
Any more, Dave?
Raggett's an interesting one, actually, isn't he? He played against Manchester City in the FA Cup, but he only came on when they were already 5-0 down and they scored another couple, so I don't think you can blame him. But it's good to see him fit again after his ankle injury. The last one for now, this is aimed at you, I think, Mr. Bailey. It's from TJNCFC. Will you be taking a trip to Portsmouth anytime soon?
Yeah, me and Pad are going to go on a road trip. Pad's already said how much he wants to go. So I'm sure it's a lovely city. I have been, actually. It was when Norwich got promoted. Great fun.
It's the place, yeah. The Spinnaker Tower, isn't it? Yeah, Portsmouth, yeah.
It's nice, yeah. Southampton, obviously, also a lovely place, as is Bournemouth. Ode to the joys of the South Coast. Tony, have you been to Portsmouth?
I haven't, and I don't plan to anytime soon.
There we go. But, you know, of course, if they continue to do as well as they are doing, then they will shine, obviously. We're done now, aren't we, Dave?
For those questions, yes, we are, Mr. Bailey.
Thank God. Okay, the week ahead then. We won't spend too long on this, but we have a huge game coming up, of course. West Brom at the Baggies. Did you say that Wes Houlihan played and was man of the match for them in the FA Cup at the weekend?
Yes, 70 minutes. He hasn't been playing for them in the league at all. And given the announcement of Team Wes v Team Russ a day after the final game of the Championship season in May, it seemed pretty likely that Wes wouldn't be staying with West Brom, and the man pretty much told me that himself when I interviewed him on the night of the launch. But lo and behold, FA Cup day, Darren Moore makes a load of changes, plays Wes as a false nine in a true Wessie style. They won 1-0 and he got praise from all quarters, and now all of a sudden they're thinking, oh, maybe we should extend his contract until the end of the season. So this is one that we are going to have to get to the bottom of this week. In fairness, we probably won't get a definitive answer on it until Darren Moore speaks in his pre-match press conference, but it's never been publicised when Wes's deal was actually to, in terms of date. It was just he signed on the 14th of August, I think it was, so presumably it would probably expire on the 13th of January, which is Sunday. But you would have thought when Wes joined, it was probably under the proviso that he doesn't play against Norwich, and equally, he's only going to be on the bench in a league game, isn't he? Wow. So, but just imagine it. We're at the Hawthorns. Norwich are either drawing or winning, 15 minutes to go, and Wes gets chucked on just as the grenade into the mix by Darren Moore. That's going to be a strange old situation.
I'll tell you what, if that scenario you paint there comes to pass, then he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't throw him on, because why not disturb the mix even further? So I could conceivably see that if he's on the bench.
Maybe he'll just leave it hanging out there all week as well, you know. Wes might play. I might have given him a new contract. You'll have to wait until 3 o'clock.
Could be one Harvey Barnes recall away from a league start. But anyway.
Imagine, Wes wouldn't want it, would he? I mean, it's kind of a nightmare scenario. I mean, what if he scored?
But it then you had it with Grant Holt, didn't he? Came back with Huddersfield, I distinctly recall.
Yeah, and got spanked 5-0.
Yeah, didn't do a great deal.
I mean, how big is this game, Paddy? It's... to me, I'm tempted to nail the automatic promotion race down to three teams, but that probably is a little bit harsh.
No, I think Sheffield are probably in the mix now as well, just because they, conversely, they've had I don't know exactly how many points, but they've by some measure, I think, had the best festive spell of the top five or six clubs. So you can't really discount them now just because they've got the points on the board, as Norwich have. I think we had a question on the Q&A. These next five games, I'd probably look at it more in that context, because they'll play Leeds, they'll play Sheffield United, West Brom, and then the small matter of Birmingham and Ipswich at home. So I think probably once we get past Ipswich, we'll know exactly what the fates hold for Norwich, rather than, you know, they get beat this weekend. I wouldn't say that's the death knell for their top two ambitions.
No, fair indeed. And Kenny McLean, probably the one who's going to take Saturday and be a lot closer to her.
Difficulty with Kenny is he's not homegrown, isn't it? Scottish players don't count as homegrown, and that may well restrict him, which seems a bit silly, doesn't it? I mean, with Grant Hanley, he was with Blackburn from 18, so he is the opposite, and like Tim Krul was with Newcastle from 18, he's Dutch, so he's clearly not. Yeah, it's that, you know, it shows that you have to think of homegrown as not necessarily meaning English or British or something. You know, that might just hold up Kenny in the way that it has the likes of Paslett.
And in terms of injuries, we should touch on, we're hoping, obviously, that Jamal Lewis and Alex Tetti will both be back and available. And then hopefully the following week, Marco Stieperman and maybe even Emi Buendia. I mean, that would be a big easing of the injury situation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Not just in terms of the bodies, but in terms of their impact. You know, Lewis, OK, Godfrey's doing a job, but Jamal Lewis all day long, isn't it? Left back, natural in that position. I think you can see the impact of no Buendia and Leitner as well, who hopefully will be not many more weeks thereafter, and even Stieperman, you know, not to have him in for any length of time. So in the context of another series of games that could really be pivotal, you want all those players available. So yeah, that was, to me, over the whole weekend, if you started it from the moment Daniel sat down on Friday afternoon at Colney, that was probably the most positive part of that whole weekend, the fact that he delivered a quite upbeat bulletin on the injury front.
Yeah. The massive thing for me is Lewis. If Lewis is fit, you can play Godfrey as defensive midfielder alongside Tribal, and then Vrančić can cover for Stieperman in the 10 role. If Lewis doesn't play, Godfrey's got to play left back. You've probably got to play Tribal and Vrančić in midfield, which for me would set alarm bells ringing in any championship match, let alone against West Brom. And then you're probably going to have to play Cantwell as your 10, and you may even need to play Marshall from the start. With Hernandez on the other wing, you're a bit restricted. If you haven't got Jamal in at left back, I'm worried, because I know Ben has been playing in defence, but you have got to have a destroyer in midfield against a big team away from home like West Brom. We saw it last year when Reed and Vrančić played alongside each other in midfield. It just did not work. You've got to have a defensive player in there as well.
January, we did want to touch on too. Of course, there'll be full live coverage, by the way, as usual, and all sorts of build up and reaction afterwards to the game at West Brom. That will be at pinken.com on Saturday. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, which is, of course, always lovely. January, we're obviously, full disclosure, not really expecting that much business in at all. We've discussed Williams Remy's link. We've got Remy Matthews, who's back, Paddy, after Bolton basically kind of imploded, and this story is going on, of course, at the moment as well. Yannick Wiltshire is supposed to be remaining at Bolton for the rest of the season, but there seems to be a suggestion that their wages aren't being paid, which would entirely be in keeping with what else has gone on up at Wanderers over the season so far. A right royal mess. But Remy, it sounds, as we understand it, doesn't it, Pad, that it's not about him coming back and now getting another chance at Norwich. We just expect that it'll be wherever he ends up next, and he is out of contract, isn't he, anyway, in the summer?
Yeah, although, were you not saying earlier there's no option there with Remy, is there?
Yeah, I think there's an option with Remy. Yeah.
There is an option, yeah. Yeah. So technically, but that would only be a course of action if Farker felt he was going to be involved with him, and while Farker's here, then Remy won't be, clearly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sanctioned that move in the first place. So, yeah, essentially it is going still just the destination now that's up in the air. I've seen linked with Charlton, Plymouth have been mentioned as well. It's terrible for the lad, really, because, you know, he would have gone off on touring to Germany in the summer with high hopes of being, right, this is my season here at Norwich, I'm going to be the first choice. He got his opportunity, didn't really grasp it, and then now he's in limbo, basically. So on a personal level, you don't want to see that. But in terms of from Norwich's point of view, not a mess Weber really wanted to be dealing with, I don't think, particularly, as I say, if those reports are true about the unpaid wages with Yannick, because that is the case. It's hard to see why he would be staying there any length of time as well if they're looking like they're going to implode. So not ideal for anybody, but in terms of how this plays out beyond January, I don't expect Remy to be here. He'll be elsewhere.
Just to confirm, yeah, there is an option in his contract in the club's favour. They confirmed that when he signed a new deal. So that does complicate it a little bit, in that you could technically put him out on loan to a League One club, couldn't you, for the rest of the season, and negotiate a permanent deal in the summer, because you could say to them, well, we cannot activate his contract if need to be. You're not necessarily getting him on a free. So it's a little bit of a difficult one for Weber, because, you know, he wants it off his plate, really. But equally, you can't just throw money down the drain. I mean, Remy's possibly still going to be worth, what, a quarter of a million or something, isn't he?
Yeah, interesting point. Ivo Pinto is, we believe, currently in Turkey. I think that was only the reports. At Rizespor, obviously famed for taking Carl Lafferty on loan a few years ago in Turkey. So we'll see if Ivo rocks up there permanently. It is a permanent deal that's supposedly on the table. And Ben Marshall is the other one who's been linked away, as we've discussed, Ben. Obviously, it would be, if he did end up going in this window, it would be very interesting where, because I think Norwich would want to play that quite cutely. Birmingham wouldn't seem a particularly wise place to send him, for example, but we will see. And of course, there's probably going to be a fair bit of under 23 business. That sort of sounds like an impression that might happen. Simon Power has gone out on loan to Dordrecht in, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, in the Netherlands. And of course, we saw what Todd did there over in Holland. At the same level, wasn't it? Although Dordrecht are at the bottom of the second tier, is that right?
Yeah, they're second from bottom, whereas Fortuna Sittard were fighting at the top, and they did end up getting promoted, finishing in second place. So, they had Savas Morgus on loan from Norwich as well, and he was starting to do well there, but then unfortunately ruptured knee ligaments. I think he did his ACL in October, so that was a blow. So clearly Simon has sort of filled that hole at Dordrecht from Norwich. But the big part of that, really, from a Norwich point of view, is signing a new contract till 2021 with the option for a further year. So that's quite a big commitment from the club. They've obviously been impressed enough by him, and I haven't seen loads of him, to be honest, but he's definitely quick, definitely determined, but I wouldn't say I've quite seen enough of him to form a full judgment on him yet.
It's always difficult at under 23 level anyway because of what you're coming up against, but I've seen bits. I quite like it. It'll be interesting to see what he does, and when he's on loan, he's got a good 6 months to go and prove himself. Right, I think that is pretty much it. Pinken Show on Wednesday, live from 6 p.m. You can now watch the Pinken Show live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and pinken.com. So literally no excuse not to watch it, unless obviously you don't like it, and then that's fine. But you can catch it all there. And of course, as I said, we'll be at the Hawthorns on Saturday. It's going to be a cracking one. Any other business?
No, mate. Let's not. Otherwise, we might get ourselves in trouble with another set of fans. We don't know.
It's always time.
No, I think that's well covered. A lengthy one, but we'll do our best to keep things nice and regular from here on in.
See, I'm going to make you keep promising that because I was doing it. Tony, did you enjoy your first podcast experience with us?
Yes, and I look forward to many more.
Well said. He is bang on trend and brand. Okay, well, we're done then. Thanks to all you guys for listening. We much appreciate it, of course. It's, goodbye from Paddy. Goodbye.
Goodbye, all.
Goodbye, Dave.
Cheerio.
Bye, Tony.
See ya.
And from me, goodbye to you. Remember, pinken.com for the latest Norwich City news, analysis, opinion and transfer insight. We'll be back with you each and every Monday, brackets promise, I've written here. So make sure you get in touch and get involved. This is your podcast as much as it is ours. Until then, here's to more magic in the league. It's a big few weeks in store. Goodbye.